You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hen.
Everybody needs some Hen love.
And Hotbox.
Altaholic, wow, extraordinaire. Greetings and welcome to episode number 43 of The Training Dummies, recorded for your ears on May the 30th, 2013. My name is Rob, and this week I am first and foremost playing my Mistweaver Monk, but I'm also playing my Elemental Shaman. Fury Warrior. Of course. I don't know, man. I don't know about that warrior lately. But and joining me this evening from the snow-capped peaks of the Kunlai Summit is my bro host. Did you change some of this?
No.
Bro host with the boast and man of a million macros, destruction warlock, and soon-to-be elemental shaman, Zend.
You mean Hend?
I don't know. Dude. I made the announcement this week on another show.
Yeah,
so I,
I heard your announcement.
But before we start dropping crits, we have a very special returning guest you may have heard there at the with his two cents on the pronunciation, coming to us all the way from the beautiful sandy shores of Oldham, California, always finding new and creative ways to dismount and fall to his death. Let's give a big warm welcome, Training Dummies, welcome to the illustrious Kevin Oldscrap.
Hey, thank you.
We do not edit here.
No.
Unless somebody drags a table across a hard wooden floor, we might edit that out.
Nice. Oh, awesome.
Kevin, what have you been doing, man?
Oh, man. You know, 5.3 has... It's all about me, I'm going to have to say. And it came just in time, because just before 5.3, I beat the game.
Sweet. And,
yeah, exactly. And you might be asking yourself, how do you beat this game? Well, it's easy. I beat all the battlegrounds. I beat all the raid bosses, and I got exalted with all of the factions.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I won.
Yeah. Yep.
I won. It was a glorious day. And but now 5.3, more content, more fun stuff to do. I got the title that I had no idea I had been dreaming for all of these years, which is the Dark Spear Revolutionary. I mean, what a, that
dude.
There is not a more cool title for a troll shaman to rock than the Dark Spear Revolutionary. And I guess because they're calling it a revolution, we already know that they won. Otherwise, it would be a civil war. So,
such a prestigious title is probably pretty hard to get then, right?
You know what? I worked long and hard slaughtering poor defenseless doggies out there in the barrens in order to get enough meat to become a revolutionary. But that was a lot of fun going out there, doing all the quests, doing all the new scenarios that they have. And then, of course, the pets. Oh, the glorious pets. And I need to give a shout out to Nightwill really quick, because she actually helped me get past the chess event in Kara.
Nice.
Last night. And I got the Nether Space Infernal drop.
Oh, dude.
The coolest pet ever. I mean, I thought, like, okay, it's an infernal bloody blah. But the cool part about the Nether Space Infernal is, if you were old school and actually raided Kara, where mechanics mattered, you know, he would drop these infernals down that would have an AoE effect. Yep. Well, if you stand there long enough, the little Nether Space Infernal does the AoE effect.
Oh, well, dude, I need
it's
to go
so
get that.
Cool. Oh, it's so amazing. The stupid chest. But yeah, no, I mean, love it.
A friend of mine told me there's a really, really easy trick for chess, and it's some sort of food or something you can do that will heal you. So no matter what piece you're in, it just heals it up. So I'll have to figure that out. And
yeah, there has to be an easy way to get through chess. It's probably just not being me. because I have looked up every strategy, tried it so many times, never able to. So thank you. Big props to Night Wolf for going out there and helping me get the pet off of Prince. So now I never have to go past chess again.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So, Hend, what have you been up to?
Busy. I'm sure everyone noticed we didn't record last week because we were busy. You know, 2 weeks ago I had a guy's weekend with my dad, brother, and brother-in-law at my parents' cabin. That was a lot of fun. One thing I did notice when I got home, though, and I think I even mentioned this to Rob at one point, is I noticed myself swearing a lot more. I think I've gotten over that now, but geez, that first week after I got back, I sure noticed. I'm like, oh man, I gotta cut this out a little bit. around the house, I've been doing lots of yard work. We have a pond out front of our house, and currently it was, or previously, because we've done a lot of work to it. It's not done, but it was a large sized pond, or I guess fairly sized anyway, too big for us, to bother with keeping clean. It was such a pain. You know, it's underneath three trees, and they're apple trees. So there's always apples you're fishing out of there. It's always a disaster cleanup. So what we've decided to do is fill it with dirt. Put in just a little tiny pond because it's also got a waterfall feature. Now, this is all here when we moved in, when we bought the house. So we didn't do any of this originally, but we like the waterfall, so we're going to keep it. So we're putting just a little pond in, enough to run the waterfall, and yeah, filling the rest in with dirt. So I've been working on that outside, trying to till the garden between the rain and, oh my goodness. And then my son has soccer as well, and I volunteered to be a coach this year. So I've got that two nights a week, and then I've got guitar with another son another day a week. So when I do get some time to play, which hasn't been a lot lately, I'm digging the new heroic scenarios for sure. I know I haven't done a lot of scenarios in the past, but the heroic ones, I'm really, really enjoying those. I've done, I think I did three on the weekend, got the bonus objective twice. Even after having to carry Rob through one of them, I think you died, what, two times on the,
I know it was a total role reversal there. I don't know what was going on, but no, I do know what was going on, but, yeah, I died twice and it was lame, but
I don't think it was a role reversal.
Since you were on your main warlock, you're able to res me.
Right. yeah, and then you died again. But yeah, we got the bonus objective done twice, which was awesome. And yeah, did a run through of all the new quests, and I think the best part of all these new quests is seeing the lesser charms drop from those mobs in the barrens. That has got to be the best thing. I know when I did it on Hend, my main, for the first time. I think I had maybe one charm to start with, and I had more than enough. I think I ended up with close to 60 when I was done collecting all my 150, so it worked out just about perfect. That's about... Oh, one last thing. On my new record for a Chaos Bolt crit is 1.7 million.
Are you screenshotting any of these, or?
You know what? I got the 1.3. I need to. I don't know if I got the 1.7, so I'm going to go for 1.8 this week and get that one for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been my 2 weeks here. Very, very busy. Rob, what have you been up to?
I have been up to watching season 4 of Arrested Development. Because that is hilarious. I've been playing Candy Crush on my iPhone. Wait a minute. Those are absolutely not relevant at all to what's going on. let's see. Been mostly just, did all the 5.3 opening stuff. It was really quick and easy to do for the most part. The first time through, because it was like I hadn't seen it before, so it was kind of cool. And then after that, I started running some alts through because I wanted to get those 502 boots on some of my alts. And each time it got progressively longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. So I had that going for me. That was it's good. It's a good little catch-up mechanism to get those free, you know, get the free boots, get that eye level up a little bit. I'm playing my Elemental Shaman, my Fury Warrior. That 200 Valor is really, really nice towards, you know, towards your weekly cap. I felt like I Valor capped very, very early on. So then I was able, I think I capped four guys last week and I wasn't even trying. So I, once I capped my Monk, then I, you know, like I said, that was before the call. We were talking. I went in on my Death Knight and I hooked up with you and Chariot, and we went over to the Barons, and we were doing the 200 Valor. You know, we were doing the weekly quest, and the three of us over there, you know, I was in Blood Spec, and we were just pulling everything we could and just raking in charms and supplies and everything. We just got through it really, really quickly. So it was kind of a nice change. I'm not sure I want to go over there every week on multiple tunes and grind all that stuff out. You know, I think Kevin was saying too that there's a couple of easier ways to do it with the generals and escorting the caravans. Is that right?
Yeah, that's just based on your server. You know, my server's so overpopulated that every time I dropped down to go take out one of the commanders or generals or whatever, there was about 25 people already wailing on him.
Yeah.
So at some point, like, I'm flying as fast as I can, hoping to get like a Earth Shock in, so that I can get. please! Yes,
Get your instant cast off before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. But you guys are on a PvP server, so, and I know one of the big ideas about the Barons is that Blizzard wanted, you know, this to be a huge contested PvP brawl out there. Is that happening?
Well, one thing I noticed on the, I don't know if it's a buff or some sort of thing, but I did notice while you were over there, it says that the zone being a contested area applied to like level 85 and above. And I think they kind of did that in terms of keeping an eye on lobbies, just trying to level and quest so people weren't just getting thrashed. So that's cool. I've gotten ganked several times, and it was usually groups, you know, there was like two or three people, you know, that were really PvP decked out, you know, full on tier, got the, you know, the nice weapon and everything, and they would come up. Some feral kitty kept stealthing in on me and just locking me up and wrecking me, and then I would be like, all right, fine, I'm on a PvP server, you know, I'd totally go across the map to the, you know, the other, I'd go and get lumber instead, and like 2 seconds later, that same dude, man, I think he was just going around picking on people, and I kind of, that's just kind of the vibe
what
I've had from
what I did
server.
Notice that night, though, is when I came to join you, he disappeared. So, clearly, I came to save your butt once again.
Yeah, you totally did.
I totally did. And then I ganked that warrior who was half-life already.
That was funny.
Just because.
Well, I could definitely see a difference, though, in this in the PvP change, the 65% resilience deal that they...
Oh, yeah.
It's just the base resilience. When we were hitting that warrior, it felt like... And I don't think he was really in PvP gear, but I was like, I'm sitting lighting into him, and it's like, you know, slowly his health's going down. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, I have been PvPing on my shaman quite a bit with Cam and her husband, and so I do have a little bit of a taste for it. I'm not saying I can't confirm or deny whether I want to go back a lot, but it's kind of cool. You know, if you go into the healer and...
Yeah.
In a group and stuff, you know, it makes a lot of difference. It's a lot more fun. So I think that's about it, though, man. I think, like, mostly, you know, once we decided on the Elemental Shaman this week, you know, I definitely was playing around with mine a lot. And I think got her, she's up to, like, about 500 eye level or so. Got several of the purchased pieces, and I've had some decent luck with the Raid Finder stuff, and then I actually got some 516 shoulders out of one of those heroic scenarios.
Oh, very nice.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's kind of... I know they're adding some catch-up mechanisms. I feel like you have to almost be a minimum item level of 500 to even go into those heroic scenarios, because if you go in there, man, you're not ready. You get tore up. It's going to be a little gnarly. So
yeah, they're kind of brutal, especially the Dark Heart scenario.
Yeah.
That boss at the end, I died to him 6 times and still have no idea what was happening. Yeah, possessed, and then you have to use the orbs in order to heal yourself and reset your cooldowns. And like, I get the idea of this fight, but the combo I was running wasn't cutting it.
Yeah, we went in with a very, very fortunate combo. I was actually on my Death Knight, who's fairly geared.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was kind of tanking it and just healing the crap out of myself. And then I think Hind and Hinded Chariot, you know, were on very strong ranged DPS. So I think we actually one-shotted him and got the bonus and everything.
Yeah,
so
we got the bonus that one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Those bonuses are tough, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you've never been in there before and you're not sure what it is, okay, you got 2 minutes to kill this guy, and you're like, what? We're doing some of the mechanics, you know, you really got to pay attention, so.
Yeah, definitely. And the one before that, the one in the snow, the bonus objective was rescue 5 of the guys in certain 5 minutes, but we weren't even sure where the last one was, so, yeah, we obviously didn't get that one. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, they're cool, though. I really like that, the heroic scenarios. And trying to get that bonus objective, it's definitely added some spice to it. So,
yeah, it's good. I can't say that I like it better than Five Mans. I definitely I've heard so many people lately on different shows saying, I don't even care if Five Mans are lame. This is fine. And I love Five Mans. I just can't agree with that. Being able to go in with, it's like, you know, kind of that raid composition, you know, your tank, your heals, your DPS, you can see if you got a good group going, you can get through it, and I find that a lot more fun than the scenarios. But I don't know. I guess it's different strokes.
Yeah. Well, I guess speaking of the Five Mans, we also tried a challenge mode this week for the first time.
Oh yeah, we finally got around to that.
Yeah, you, me, a Chariot, Puffet, and Taz from our guild as well, and. Yeah.
We're like, oh, yeah, we'll get a silver at least.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ew. Oh, man. It kicked our butt. We were not prepared. We were not prepared. But it was fun.
It was definitely fun. I was kind of expecting, because I went in as heals, and I was really kind of expecting to be able to contribute a lot to the DPS and you know, kind of like I would in a normal fight, man. And we were all, okay, we know that our gear is going to be, you know, normalized down to 463, but we really didn't take into account that not only is your gear stats pulled down, but all the mobs and everything are beefed way up. So, man, I was, like, spam healing, like, the entire time as hard as I could. And there was a few, I mean, we died a few times, It was nasty, man. I just wasn't expecting that. Oh, man. We went, what was it, the Mogoshan Palace?
Yeah, yeah. It happened to be the daily. Too. Yeah.
And we looked, and it was like the, you know, our top guild group did it in like 7.5 minutes. And we're like, oh, cool, sweet. We'll do this. Yeah, that's cool, right on. I'm kind of ashamed to say how long it took us. Even we did get a... We did get the bronze, and we did get the valor and all that stuff, but it was funny.
Yep. Oh, well. We'll have to keep doing that, though. If you get a group, I think if you get a solid, cohesive group that keeps going in, you'll get better, and you'll get those times. And clearly, the people who did it in 7.5 minutes did not do it on their first attempt. There's no way. So
I know there's like the potions and all that stuff you can get to.
Yeah, really exactly, helpful. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Hi, everyone. This is Syl from Girls Gone WoW, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Hend and Hot Pox. Now it's time to put on your robe and wizard hat.
I laugh every time at that. She posted a video a couple days ago of her and a friend doing like the chubby bunnies thing with the marshmallows.
Oh, I watched that.
Dude, Yeah. You should check that out. I think I saw it under the Girls Gone Wow Facebook. I think it was posted under there, so it's worth the, it's worth a few minutes of hilarity that she offers.
Yes, it is.
But this evening, there's been, you know, some playful banter definitely for quite a while now about, you know, no elemental, no enhancement, and Zend here is actually. has actually agreed to take his DPS off spec and give it a shot, and I thought that was super cool because I tried enhance and I don't think I could kill level 40 mobs at that point. But so today we're actually gonna show teach Hand a little bit on what to do and run through. Why elemental, and why it's better. So, Kevin, why would you say, out of everything that's going on out there, all the range classes, you know, we had our Shadow Priest buddy on a couple weeks ago, and a great response from that show. Why elemental?
Well, it's not trying to prove to Hend that the elemental shaman is the better. It's letting him accept the fact that it is the best. And
yeah.
Yep. The greatest part about him already being a resto shaman is that he understands that playing a shaman is not about topping the charts. It's about being awesome.
And it's about topping the charts, too. Hey, I do that. Exemplifies. I do that.
Possibly.
Let's clear that up. Let's clear that up.
We have known that from the beginning of the game, the shaman has never topped the charts in DPS or heals. It's just a fact. And I mean like high-end progression charts too. So the best of the best can't beat out, you know, the other ones. But that's not the point of being a shaman. The point of being a shaman is that they are fun and awesome and that you look cool doing it. So that is why the elemental shaman is so much better than any of the other casting classes out there, because we throw lightning and fireballs.
Yeah.
Lightning and fireballs. Beat that. You just can't.
I can't tell you how many times, like in an LFR or even a five man, like somebody will whisper, or even in, you know, even in the instance chat, make a comment about, oh yeah, it's stupid, elemental shaman just spamming chain lightning. I'm like, yeah, you're just mad because I just tripled your DPS on that one pull up there. So
it's like, yes, I take this awesome spell and I use it all the time. Of course I do. Are you stupid? That's like saying, oh, you're just a rogue using Fan of Knives. Well, duh. You know, of course I'm going to use the most awesome ability in my toolkit. That's nice. I mean, do you go into Call of Duty and be like, well, you're just using the guns? Of course I'm going to be using the most awesome thing.
Don't.
But, oh, man, don't, elemental don't hate shamans. The exactly. Elemental shamans, they've gone through such growing pains. I mean, I remember back in Burning Crusade when my computer wasn't cool enough to let me not lag out in the Gruul's lair to where I could actually track the mobs as an enhancement shaman. And so I had to play elemental because of the lag that I suffered. And that's, you know, just like 1-1-1. And the problem with the elemental shaman back then is you're a turret. You could not move. Your feet were planted in place and you would just stand there and throw your lightning bolts over and over. 5.3. Oh, glorious 5.3. Yeah. I mean, the sun has dawned on a new age of awesomeness that is elemental shaman. From level 1, you are running and casting lightning bolts.
Oh, I want to level that's another sick. One now.
I started a shaman. He is level 5, running around Mulgore, throwing lightning bolts.
Nice.
It is the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
So, I mean, you start off awesome, and your toolkit that you are given is just amazing. Let's look at a couple. One, lightning bolt. Duh, it's awesome, especially with the new graphic enhanced. Two, chain lightning, more awesomeness. Okay, so those are just lightning, and you feel like Raiden or Thor or something. It's just cool. And then you have Earthquake, which isn't all that, like, you know, numbers-wise awesome, but it looks really cool.
Yeah, I love it.
See where I'm going with this? You're throwing a lava burst around, and you're doing it in instant cast off of your flame shock. So, again, you can still fire your most powerful spell on the move, and it's an automatic crit. Yep. No matter what now, you don't have to have flame shock on your target anymore, so it is even more glorious. And then we get into the most greatest, most awesomest ability ever, Ascendance, which... When you pop this thing, it's lava burst, lava burst, lava burst, lava burst, lava burst, or chain lightning burst, lava burst, lava burst, lava burst. I mean, it is, the numbers go flying, the women swoon, it is glorious.
Well, you certainly make a strong case, that's for sure. but the reason I want to try Elemental and I mentioned Taz earlier, and he's the reason I want to try Elemental, because when I was on my...
What, not me? Not mine?
No.
Yeah, I take it to town, bro.
Well, anyway, I noticed when I was with Tim, anyway. But my alt Warlock, who I can do really good DPS with my alt Warlock, Taz brought his Elemental Shaman to an LFR with me, and he couldn't quite match my Warlock, but he was very close. And, you know, in a few fights, he was the number one, I was number two, and then I was number one, he was number two, but it was back and forth a lot. And it's like, you know, maybe it's time to break out the Elemental on my Shaman and just give it a try. And, you know, because my enhanced set is, I think, is only 480. So already I've jumped up 25 eye levels just by using my current healing gear.
Yeah.
So I'm already jumping up, you know, and for, you know, 30 minutes before we started this, I did my respec. I looked at the show notes a little bit, but you guys are going to have to, you know, fill me in a bit. And I was managing to sustain 60K on the training dummies. So anyway, I know I can do better because I've seen Tim do better and I've seen Rob do better. But anyway, it was the one LFR with Tim that really made me see, like, oh wow, I wanna try this. I wanna give this a shot.
I think you got a taste of that ranged DPS and you're realizing, like,
that must be it.
Because man, the melee DPS in some of these fights is just, it's very intensive and very not very forgiving. So.
Yeah, that could be it too.
And well, you get Thunderstorm. Yes. I don't like
that. That just sounds cool.
It's legit.
Oh, I love Thunderstorm.
Well, for those of you who haven't touched the Shaman in a while, the old school, like, totem buff on a stick style has kind of gone away. A lot of the stuff is passive or baked in. So what you get with your different totems now is they really kind of are cooldowns. For the most part, you know, some of them fit into your rotation a little bit. You know, you want to include them, but a lot of them are just cooldowns. So, we'll go over some of that stuff. But the main two things, and this doesn't really change with any spec. You got your weapon enhancement, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
So for Elemental, you're going to use Flame Tongue Weapon, and then you're going to keep up your Lightning Shield for DPS.
And if you don't have those up, you'll notice it really, really quick.
You will. I believe Lightning Shield is also going to help you with your mana return. So if you don't have that up, you'll
see. You're out of mana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, good to know. Why don't I have Fulmination or mana? Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Kevin, do you want to get into the... You were covering some really good stuff there a minute ago, but that was just about the awesomeness of it. Did you want to get into
that's just the looking single good, target? Pulling the numbers. Yeah. For your single target, it's a very straightforward rotation because all the really awesomeness that is the Elemental Shaman comes with your cooldown managements and all that stuff. So your basic rotation is that it's a very basic rotation. It's not difficult to learn at all. Keep your flame shock on your target. You got to refresh it when it has 3 seconds or left. It lasts for 30 seconds, so you have a pretty good cushion there. Standard dot timer will help with that. It it used to make your lava burst crit. That's not the deal anymore. Your lava burst will always crit now. But if you have flame shock on your target going, then your lava burst will hit for 50% more damage, which is amazing. And it also will proc an instant lava burst, which is why I have a couple macros for lava burst. But lava burst, that's your bread and butter, awesome, rock the charts, make the ladies swoon ability. And that one you want to use on cooldown. It's every 8 seconds, unless it procs, and then you can just wail away on that button. So whenever you see lightning burst up, you hit it. Elemental Blast, that's the one you want to lead off with whenever you start an encounter, because it's going to give you a random if you spec'd into Elemental Blast, that's what you're going to want to off with, because it'll give you a buff, and it looks awesome, and that's why everybody should pick it. When you have 6 to 7 charges of your lightning shield, go ahead and use your earth shock. Make sure that you have your searing totem up, because that thing hits pretty hard too. If you don't need a refresh flame shock, if you don't have lava burst or elemental, then fill it with the awesomeness that is the lightning bolts. If you ever get low on mana, use your thunderstorm, and that'll give you your mana back and look really cool while you're doing it.
So, I know a lot of people still... Oh, go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just going to ask, what charges up your lightning shield?
Your lava bolts. Lava bolts. Your lightning bolts.
Lightning bolts.
The procs and crits off of your lightning bolt will give you more charges on your lightning shield. That works for your regular lightning bolt or your chain lightning. Okay. So sometimes if you have like Echo of the Elements, which will duplicate your spells, if you chain lightning a mob and then that procs another chain lightning, you'll go from 0 to fulmination in one cast.
Yeah. Which mastery systems are really nice too. It kind of does similar things, Echo of the Elements.
So what happens with Earth Shock when you use a lightning shield that has 7 charges? Like, what's your Earth Shock doing?
Then you get your bonus damage, which is called Fulmination. It takes those charges and then tacks on. I mean, I don't know the exact breakdown of the numbers, Rob. Do you? It's a lot.
I should have looked, but no, it'll. I know you have a like similar setup to mine, so it'll proc. I've seen them upwards of like 60, 80, you know.
Yeah.
Just depending on what's going on. But yeah, it'll kind of give you that proc. Earth Shock will be like, okay, you're ready to go. And I think you'll get the graphic on the screen if you have that turned on. And that's pretty much the only time you ever want to do that is when you have at least those 6 or 7 charges.
Okay, so you're not keeping Earth Shock on cooldown at all. No, you're just using it when you get your charges. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Exactly, and then your screen will flash, and then you hit it, and if you have, you know, like your combat text scrolling up or whatever, it'll show like Earth Shock hit for X amount of damage, and then right next to it, Fulmination hit for 11 billion damage.
Pretty much.
Depending on how many charges you consume with that Fulmination is how hard that hits.
Right, cool.
Now, I know a lot of people... they do use the Unleash Elements because it does provide a small buff, but I think we talked about this on our previous Shaman episode, but I don't really feel like it's worth using. You use a global cooldown, and you really have to be on top of you. It's one of those min-maxing situations. You really have to be on top of using your Flame Shock or your Lava Burst in conjunction with that in order to get that extra damage out of it. So personally, Since you can cast Lightning Bolt on the move now, Unleash Elements for an Elemental Shaman isn't something that I work into my rotation. So
I keep it on my action bar in case I want a quick kill while I'm on the run through an old raid.
Well, yeah, and you know, if you see someone's about to die, you know, and you don't have anything else that's up, and you know your lightning bolt's going to take a second to cast, you know, those are the moments that the same reason I do have it on my bar. It's just not something I go to, but it's there. You know, you want to get in that extra hit because you know if you have to cast something, you're not going to. So you know, you can use it in those situations.
And sometimes you can get a little smile to yourself if Lava Burst, you know, is on proc and you're like, oh, let me just hit Unleash Elements really quick and make that Lava Burst hit a little bit harder.
Oh, yeah.
So.
So it's such a, man, this class just makes you so happy.
It does. It
man,
does.
It's so good, man.
That's why it's been my main for 8+ years and still is my main.
Let's I understand why you changed your mains to your warlock, but you know, I think the elemental shaman's gonna kind of capture some of that.
It's the synergy of the cooldowns in every spec of shaman that just makes it so much fun and interesting to play. But AoE is another fun thing, Rob.
Yep, I think the AoE doesn't change that much if you've only got like two or three guys there. You know, what you should do, and what I end up doing aren't always the same thing. what you should do is put up your Flame Shock on, you know, if you've got two to three guys, you should put a Flame Shock on each one of them, and then continue with your single target rotation like you normally would. But you swap out Chain Lightning for your Lightning Bolt, so that Chain Lightning becomes the filler now. Basically, to me, if there's three guys there, dude, I'm Chain Lightning because it just looks so cool. And when you get that Echo of the Elements or Mastery proc, it's really, really nice. Four more enemies, basically, yes, just go ahead and spam your Chain Lightning and Thunderstorm. Now, what we mentioned a minute ago was the Searing Totem. Now, what you want to do with your AoE, this is going to be the same as Enhancement, is use your Magma Totem instead. But the one thing that I do, and we'll probably talk about this a little more in the talent tree, is I actually really use that Totemic Projection. I don't think I really care for anything else out of that level 45 talent. Mm-hmm. I don't care for the Call of the Elements one. Maybe I should learn how to get a little more out of those. Totemic Restoration, I'm not really looking for mana, so I'm not worried about it. But with Totemic Projection, I've got that key bound. So what I'll do is I'll drop my Magma Totem, and I will drop a Capacitator Totem. And what the projection does is it gives you like a tiny little reticle, and you can place those wherever you want. So, you know, with Hoofit, for example, he's a very aggressive tank. You know, if he trusts his group and he's in there and he's going and he's going and he's going, I don't have to be up there with him. I'm a ranged class. You know, I can be wherever I want. So I'm going to drop the Magma Totem and usually the Capacitator Totem, and I will just throw that right where he's at, right into the middle of those mobs. That Capacitator Totem goes off, stuns everyone, and that Magma Totem is sitting there doing AoE damage, and then you just light in with your Chain Lightning. So kind of, it's, you feel like you're actually giving that utility as well.
Definitely. And one of the big reasons why you don't keep your Flame Shock up in four or more groups is when you Chain Lightning, you're almost going to get that guaranteed fulmination off your Earth Shock.
Yeah.
So pick one target, and you are almost going to be using Earth Shock on cooldown because it's going to be proccing that fulmination so much.
And it looks beautiful.
Yes.
I think in terms of rotation, that's pretty much it. It's very, very simple to pick up, and then the more you do it, just the better it feels. You know, I think like a lot of things in life, I guess, but... But the more you get to practice it and kind of get a feel for what you want to do with those two to three enemies and then the huge pulls, but there is nothing like popping Ascendance, dropping your Stormlash and Stormlash Totem for that extra DPS buff and just lighting into them with a Chain Lava. That is probably one of the best feelings in the game. I think you'll be looking at that warlock twice next time you go to log in.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Well, for stats, unless you had any questions about the
no, I don't think patients. So. Like I know, like I mentioned, I was getting 60k, just on the training dummies, and I know I could be getting more because you know I had just done the quick read of these notes and.
Well, and here's the thing too, we didn't.
It, you know, I just placed my bars, and I'm still not even sure I got everything where I want them. Like, I know I've got one main key that I always, you know, it's my R key, and it's always a main spell in every rotation that I do. And I had nothing on there, and I wasn't sure what to put there. And yeah. I wanted to hit it, but I'm like, but what do I put there? You know, and so yeah,
it's lightning bolt.
lightning bolt has been my number five for 8 years. I'm not moving lightning bolt.
Love a burst.
So we'll just clear that up now. Lightning bolt does not get moved. Like what I had on my R before was storm strike. Okay. So, you know, it's my major spell, you know, and I'm using it all the time. On my warlock, I have it as my chaos bolt, you know, so.
Yeah.
So I need something in there. So maybe my lava burst. I'm thinking possibly. Lava burst would
be
so.
It could be your earth shock. So as soon as that fulmination is ready to go, you can.
But see, that's the thing. Like these are spells that I've always used, and they're like the earth shock and the flame shock. You know, you use those as enhance as well, so I know where those are, and I don't want to move those, right? So I've got 3 and 4 and 5. And 6.
You could put your elemental blast there.
Yeah, I was thinking that, or possibly number 1 or 2. Yeah, see, that's the thing.
It's got a little bit of the 12-second cooldown seems a little bit longer, but it feels like, you know, once you get into that groove, it feels like it's up, you know, it's ready to go pretty often.
I noticed too. It did seem like it was popping pretty often.
And that's one of the reasons I spec into it, is because it fits the rotation very nicely.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's just going to take some playing with it to figure out where I want to put everything. Put the new spells.
Good things for you is coming in as a shaman background, like a lot of those skills carry over from enhancement, but as a resto, you know, being your main spec for that, you've got a lot of that gear, and the gear really does translate very well from resto into element. The stat priorities are very similar. The only thing that you're going to find, well, we can actually look at these stats real quick. Intellect is going to be your main stat, of course, and then hit. It's going to be, you're going to cap at 15%, but fortunately, Shaman's one of the classes that Spirit translates into hit. So
you're going to
find yourself.
Yes, I had 27%. You're going to
find yourself, yep. I was going to say in the high 20s, or I think my priest was at like 28 or something percent. But and then haste, and then mastery, and then crit, and. You probably don't even need to, just for experimenting, you don't even really need to reforge. I think my shaman was primarily resto, and I never reforged anything for my elemental set. Now, it was up recently. I probably, I'm going to say, I don't want to say it was the 5.0 raids, but maybe with Throne of Thunder, I've really decided to focus on elemental more, and then keep that other gear that I had, all the gear from Terrace and all that stuff, and keep that as my resto set. And I am, like I said, I'm up to about a 500 eye level, a lot of LFR gear, a couple of the 522 vendor pieces, and I'm building a separate set for elemental so I can reforge properly and whatnot. But for you being able to get in here and just do this, you're not even going to have to worry about that. It's really nice. It's not going to take away from your healing gear at all, and you're still going to be able to get a really good feel for it.
Well, as Kevin had said, part of why it's so awesome is because you look so awesome doing it. And I'm a big fan of transmog and making my characters look awesome. So right now I have my beautiful blue set for heals, and my beautiful red set for resto. And now what am I going to do? Like, if I get to specific elemental pieces, I like to have my separation on my shaman between my DPS and my heal set. So now I'm at
time to revisit some of your look there.
Well, see, I could go elemental as the red set. That's fine. I think there's even a shield that matches mine that is red as well. So that's cool, but it's the transition period as I build a full elemental set that I can actually go and transmog the full thing. So this is my dilemma.
You're going to look like a Christmas tree for a little while, but yeah.
That just won't do. It just won't do.
Some of the really, really good things that I just mentioned a minute ago was that all these abilities are kind of across the board. So you're going to be familiar with most of them already. So we can look at some of the cooldowns here. And I'll just start off with the first one here. Ascendance is the one that you get at level 87. It basically turns you into an elemental, I guess. Not quite the... You look more like a charcoal elemental, I guess. But for elemental, what it does for you is it takes the cooldown off of your lava burst. And you can basically spam those. So you get, I believe, Ascendance lasts 15 seconds. If I remember correctly,
yeah,
so you
can spam.
So think about guaranteed crit spamming lava burst for 15 seconds. You know, you can get in a good 10 of those. And I know in that Horridon fight, I was breaking 700k with a few of them. I don't know if that was on the third door or not, but I mean, I know you're getting really big crits on your warlock, but I mean, just imagine, you know, back to back. You know, 10 or 12 of those.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's an AoE situation, you spam your chain lightning, which turns into a lava chain instead. Ooh. And you're just spamming that so hard, and it's this giant lava beam just going and wrecking everything. So that is a 3-minute cooldown. You want to, if you know the fights, obviously you want to use it when it's appropriate. But otherwise, it's kind of one of those you want to use it as often as possible.
Yep.
You want to take the next one here, Kev?
Yeah, Bloodlust.
Well,
the most awesome
obvious.
Of cooldowns. I mean, there really isn't much else to do that. The thing with Bloodlust that you have to remember is that it's all about timing, and especially making sure that if you are in control of the Bloodlust, then that also means you can time it up with your Ascendance. You can time it up mm-hmm. with a couple of the other cooldowns that we're going to be talking about. You can time it up with your trinkets and all that stuff. Most of the time you can bloodlust right off the top of a fight. Maybe people will yell at you, but whatever, you know, that way you can use all your cooldowns right off the bat. Most of them are about 5 minutes. Most fights are longer than 5 minutes, so you can use them all again, later. The other time that you're going to want to use bloodlust is in that execution phase with 20% left on the boss. That way, you know, your priests and your warriors and your hunters and all of them can use their mm-hmm. really big, uber awesome DPS abilities, and they can. And you know, strangely enough, they never turn at the end of the fight and be like, "You know what, Shaman? Thank you for letting me use those 30% faster.
I know
it
right?
really helped me on the charts because you were here. I was better." They have never done that. I don't.
You're
get
right.
It.
You know what? You're
in
right.
Fact, they put up quite a stink if you don't do it when they want you to do it.
So. I know. Why didn't you time it with my cooldown? Like, buddy, my Ascendance was still on cooldown, and
yeah,
I was
there. You
wait.
Go. I think the most important thing to remember about Bloodlust is that it's better than heroism.
It's not the same.
It's exactly. So I think that's the main thing we can take away from that is that Bloodlust is better. Than heroism. Yes.
100%.
And every once in a while, you'll see a BM hunter in there, and they'll, I don't know what it's called, Insanity or something. Yeah.
Hysteria.
Or that, Time Warp.
Yeah.
The mages
somebody
cheap
will be like,
knockoff.
What the heck is that? Well, one of your other main cooldowns, and this is across the board as well, is going to be your Fire Elemental. And the thing, and I'm sure you know this already, but the thing you want to do is get as many self-buffs as you can before you cast mm-hmm. it, because it plays off of, it kind of takes a snapshot of, you know, if you've got Bloodlust going on, if you just popped a potion, if you're, you know, if you've got Stormlash or, you know, any of your DPS cooldowns, it will play into those. So you pop those first, and then you pop your Fire Elemental, and it takes a piece of those, and it will actually increase its DPS as well. Mm-hmm. I believe that's a 3-minute cooldown. And if you're spec'd into Elemental Blast, it's just going to be a regular old giant Fire Elemental that comes out, and it'll wail believe, whatever you've got
Flame Shock. Yeah, your Flame Shock directs it, yeah.
Yeah. So if you aren't spec'd into that, if you're spec'd into, we can go down the tree here in a minute too. If you're maybe primal elementalist, it'll be an uber beefed up steroid version of the elemental.
80% more powerful.
Oh yeah, they did. I have to look at that. Yeah,
they upped the deeps on that. So I mean, if you really like the elementals, I mean, the cool thing about it is, like, you know, if you're a healer, you can turn the fire elemental to give you a buff to your heals while he's out there.
Both. You can get both elementals to buff you.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Unfortunately, as an elemental shaman, the actual elemental attacking himself is going to be doing more damage to the boss than if he was buffing you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just want him to go ape crazy on the boss. So just summon him and watch the awesomeness that is the enhanced fire elemental go to town.
Let's see, what do we got here? Shamanistic Rage. That is actually not just for enhancement anymore. They've moved that over, and elemental shamans get that as well. And that is just a kind of a survivability cooldown. What's it, 20%?
30.
You probably know this from enhancement.
Yeah, 30. And, you know, it's one of my least used cooldowns is enhanced.
Oh, because, man.
Well, it's survivability. If I'm not taking damage, I have no reason to use it. Like, yeah, and it reduces the mana of your spell. Yes, but it reduces the mana of your spells, right? But enhance, you don't use any. Like, I've never had a mana issue with enhance. So
I rarely do. I did for a while with elemental, and I think it might have been a gearing thing, or maybe I took a couple of talents that helped out too. But yeah, I don't really have mana issues. If I'm spamming chain lightning, or you know, just like over and over and over and over, and I don't have my lightning shield up, you know, it'll be gone. But let's see here. Spirit Walker's Grace, another one that'll apply, I believe, for all three specs. That just allows you to do any of your skills on the move. It's like, what is it, 12, 15 seconds?
I want to say 20.
20? Is it more than that?
Or maybe 18.
Another one now that it's a good one. I don't use it that much because you know, you get that lightning bolt on the move.
Oh, it's 15. Never mind. 15, sorry.
You get your lava burst is an instant.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? You know, it'll proc and you'll get an instant, so you can do that while you're running. I know there's a lot of high movement fights, and I definitely do use it here and there, but it's not a huge one. But
usually I use it to heal on the run.
Yeah, exactly.
Even as an elemental, I'm like, oh, I'm running and I gotta heal. Spirit Walker's Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else, elemental, you can do it on the move.
All right. You want to take this next one?
Heck yes. Stormlash Totem. I mean, the totems that they've put out are so cool when it comes. Now this, I used to really enjoy the old totems. You know, I'm going to put out my little damage buff totem and my bulwark totem and all that stuff. But these, they feel just so much more interactive and fun. On the Stormlash Totem, this is one that you want to team up with your ascendants, team up with your bloodlust, and get going, because the Stormlash Totem, it increases all the damage in your entire raid for 6 seconds. It's awesome because everybody gets to do more damage because of you, but it's crazy short. I mean, it is just 6 seconds. And so usually the way I use this one is I will hit Bloodlust, or I will put Flame Shock on the target. I will hit Bloodlust. I will hit Ascendance. Then I hit Stormlash Totem, and then I go into Lava Burst Frenzy. That way I'm maximizing, like, 100% of that Stormlash is Ascended and Bloodlusted. So... I don't know, that's just the way my brain works. If that actually works numerically, I haven't proven it, but it feels awesome.
It makes sense.
However they're laid out on my bars, that's how I hit them.
One, two, three, win. Yeah.
Stormlash
is super, really impressive.
Well, yeah, and like you said, it's a raid-wide thing. Everyone gets that extra buff from it, so it's a very powerful and should be used in conjunction with your other cooldowns. So,
yep, use it right off the bat. It's a 5-minute cooldown, which means you're going to be able to use it probably about twice in each boss fight.
Yep.
So do not be afraid to use it.
Do not be afraid.
Mm-mm.
Now the other one, I guess this is considered a cooldown since it was 50 seconds or something like that. It's Thunderstorm, and that's a really great AoE move. It's another one of the more amazing looking spells in the game, where you call down a giant lightning thunderstorm and cast it on all of the foes in your immediate area. It's a good looking one there.
And knocks them back out to their mamas.
Now, if you want to frustrate the heck out of your tank and your group.
Oh, do tell. Do tell.
This is what you use.
Don't glyph it and use it all the time because it knocks dudes back like a boss.
Mm-hmm.
I personally glyph it to remove the knockback because it's kind of annoying. You know, I know when I'm tanking and people are, you either have a Boomkin or a Shaman that are just knocking stuff back. I was going to save this for a PvP tip, but you definitely don't want to glyph it if you're doing PvP because you get into one of those, I can't remember the name of it now, but one of those maps where you can knock dudes off a cliff.
Eye of the Storm.
Yep, Eye of the Storm's a good one.
Lumber Mill.
Yep, when you're up at the Lumber Mill, you get some dude to come over by the cliff with you and kindly knock them off. Yeah,
you get some poor guy to flag for PvP under Naxxramas. Yeah, these are all fun little trolling things. Oh, yeah, are you kidding me? Like, there's a lot of alliance here. Thunderstorm.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Great.
I gotta do that now.
Yeah, yeah. Too bad nobody hangs out under next anymore.
Shoot, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I have, like I was mentioning, I have been doing some PvP with Kim and Andy a little bit, but I always forget, so I'll still have it glyphed to take away the knockback, and I'll go into PvP, and I'm like, dang it, trying to knock people away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So then, 3 or 4 battlegrounds in, and I'll finally remember, and I'll switch my glyphs out, and then I'll go into LFR later on, and then it's not glyphed, and then we'll be like one of those first couple of pulls there, like in the Throne of Thunder, like in that first part, one of the first couple of pulls. I'm knocking dudes back, and then all of a sudden, more dudes are coming, and come on, stupid shaman, come on, man. Enough with the knockback. I'm like, yeah, other shaman, stop it.
Yeah, definitely if you're a raider, you want this glyph so that there is no knockback. If you are anything else, it is glorious, and enjoy the knockback. And in that case, you want to grab the the glyph that reduces its cooldown by 10 seconds. Because why not have something that's awesome a little bit more often?
That's just good common sense.
Would you like some awesome more often?
Yeah, can't fault that logic at all.
Now, last time we took a little more of an in-depth look at the talent tree, so I don't think we need to get deep into it. Hand was smart enough to catch another little audio glitch that was going on here too. So
yes,
we will not let this happen with Kevin on our show again. But
no,
we'll briefly roll through the talent tree and we can talk about what we're picking and why. Again, these are personal preferences. I think a lot of these talents are so open that you could really kind of, I know you could always make an argument for one over the other, but, a lot of them, like I've admitted before, I do passive stuff simply for the ease of it. for example, in the first tier here, I generally take Nature's Guardian when I'm doing stuff myself, but after speaking with Kevin last time, the Stone Bulwark Totem is a great group or raid utility, because it reduces that damage for everyone around you. So that's a really good one. So I'll go with one of those two normally. Astral Shift is a good personal cooldown, but I generally take the passive Nature's Guardian, as a little built-in bailout, or the Stone Bulwark.
Yeah, I also rock the Stone Bulwark simply because the thing that drew me to the awesomeness that is the Shaman is the the buffs that you bring to the group. That's what I loved about shamanism in Warcraft. Is like, yeah, I'm going to be doing stuff and I'm going to look good doing it, but I'm really helping everybody else while I'm here. So that's why I went with a lot of talents like the Stone Bulwark Totem, Healing Tide Totems, those kinds of abilities where it's like, I may not be healing, but I'm going to be stopping a lot of damage and I'm going to be helping out those healers a lot in this raid. So, and definitely in the scenarios, because if you keep that Stone Bulwark Totem down and your healing stream down, and when the feces impacts with the oscillating unit, you drop that Healing Tide Totem. I mean, then it is just it's glorious, and it really, really helps. If you're in that Li Shen fight and you're getting the determination buff way up, I mean, the Stone Bulwark Totem and your healing stream totem heals like a Healing Tide Totem every time you drop it. So, I mean, you get some really great raid utility out of that.
Even as an elemental shaman, I think I might have mentioned this. I do have a keybind for the healing stream totem, and I keep the bulwark and the healing stream, keep them down all the time. It's definitely worth it. Do you want to wipe on Li Shen or not? Really, because your extra little bit of DPS is not what's going to push it over, but the group's DPS will. So,
yeah, and after the last time we had Kevin on, I now rock Stone Bulwark on both specs all the time. Mm-hmm. I never change it. It's always Stone Bulwark on my resto and my enhanced slash now elemental.
Yes.
I've been doing that, so totally a good talent there.
Well, this next tier, the level 30 tier 2 talents, I generally bounce back and forth between Windwalk and Earth Grab. I've gravitated a lot more towards the Earth Grab now since I've been dabbling in PvP, and that's extremely useful in PvP, but Windwalk is another utility. Like maybe on the council fight in Throne of Thunder, if you see people are getting stuck in those quicksand traps, that'll help out. But generally, I don't really use it that much for end game stuff, really. No. So
yeah.
There's not a lot of fights that roots the entire raid in place, but there are a lot of fights where you're going to have adds that may need to be rooted in place. And when you're out in the world, because most people don't, quest as a resto, they will quest as elemental, and that you will have adds, and that you do need to earth grab. So it's always good to have that with you.
Now, I kind of gave my two cents on this next tier, the level 45 stuff, with the totemic projection and how I kind of like to use that capacitator totem with the magma one. But I know you had mentioned Call of the Elements and were kind of shaming me a little bit on that, so I'd like to hear a little more.
Well, Call of the Elements, it's a beautiful ability that resets all of your totem cooldowns that are shorter than 3 minutes. That doesn't apply to the elements. It doesn't apply to the Stormlash. Yeah, it has to be shorter than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But what that does give you is a quick refresh on your Stone Bulwark Totem, your Healing Stream Totem, your Earth Grab Totem. All of these totems that, you might get into an OS situation where you're like, these would really help out. Call the elements, drop, drop, drop. And then you've, again, provided that huge buffer for the raid.
I'll tell you what, though, man. You throw your totems up there where the tank is, and you throw your magma totem and your capacitator in there, and you tell me that's not like one of the funner things you've done in a while.
No, I'm not knocking. What you do is awesome, and most importantly, it looks good.
And I'm sensing a theme here.
It's all about the shop looking good. But with Call of the Elements, I think that it will reset the cooldown on your Capacitator Totem too. So, you know, you can use it more often in the fight.
Now, this next tier, after our talk before, I was taking Elemental Mastery and kind of stacking that up with a lot of my other cooldowns with Ascendance and with the Elementals and all that. But I believe the numbers kind of say, and being a passive ability, especially that Echo of the Elements, tends to pull ahead just a little bit. And when you fire off an Elemental Blast or a Chain Lightning and Echo of the Elements procs and duplicates that for you, man, it's hard not to just, like, sit there and lose what you're doing because you're laughing so hard, because it is one of the coolest looking things.
Nice.
Yeah, it is an amazing ability. Most Elemental Shamans should grab it. The only time that I would situationally switch to Elemental Mastery if you have to have a burst phase in a fight where it is absolutely crucial that you get those procs and those extra spells in. Otherwise, Echo of Elements all day long, every day. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, I think I'm still taking, for the level 75 stuff, I think I'm still taking Ancestral Guidance. And what that'll do is when you do damage for the next 10 seconds, 40% of your damage is copied to healing for injured party members around you. And I think that's supposed to be a pretty good, if you're able to just plant yourself and crank out some numbers, I think that's supposed to be the way to go. But I'm starting to second guess that too. And maybe, did you said you use Healing Tide Totem?
I do use Healing Tide Totem because I like totems. A Healing Tide also heals the entire raid, not just three nearby injured members. Astral Ascendance, if you combine that with your cooldowns, with your, if you do your Ascendance and then the Astral Guidance on that, you know, you're going to be cranking out some heavy damage. So you're also going to be putting out a whole lot of heals on top. But a lot of the numbers that they're showing is that Healing Tide and Astral Ascendance, if you can plant your feet, Astral Guidance is going to be doing a little bit more healing. But it's a little bit more on the situational side, while the Healing Tide is a drop it, forget it, and have people praise you for being awesome.
Yeah.
I love dropping my Healing Tide because I love totems, and I also like that ability of I can just throw it down, and even if we're running or if there's like that blowback phase in the in the Lei Shen fight, it's like, okay, healing totem, and I can just, you know, set and forget and know that a lot of people are going to get a lot of good healing off of it.
Yeah, I've grabbed that as well on my DPS off spec, and I've had it for probably since the last time you were on, I think. I think I was using one of the other two, Ancestral Guidance and Conductivity, but you mentioned, you know, taking the Healing Tide on your DPS spec, on your Elemental spec, and even just the way you explained it now, it makes a lot of sense to do that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, totally, totally. So I've done that. I've got that on both specs, just like the Stone Bulwark.
No.
Because Kevin said so. It looks good.
Here's something that's not in the notes at all, but I think people, if they don't know, should be aware of. Certain totems fall under certain categories or schools, and you cannot have more than one up at the same time. So I believe Healing Tide would be a water totem, right?
Yeah, it's water.
Yes. You can't have Healing Stream and Healing Tide up at the same time. So you want to be careful to not cut yourself short on those, because I know a lot of times, you know, I'll drop a Healing Stream totem, and then, you know, if I'm healing, I'll see, you know, oh crap, raid wide damage, and you know, I've still got, you know, 10 seconds left on this thing. Well, you know, you kind of want to pay attention to that, so you're not selling yourself short. So what you don't want to, you know, you can't have a Searing and a Magma Totem out, and your Fire Elemental. You know, those all fall into the fire. So I don't think we'd really discuss that, but Just keep in mind what type of totem you have out, and you can only have one type of each at the same time. Yeah. So
I don't feel nearly as bad cutting off the healing stream with a healing tie as I do cutting off a healing tide with a healing stream,
which I have done. Yep. Or I'll drop my healing tide totem, and they go, "Oh crap! I'm almost out of mana. Let me put down my mana tide."
Oh, not mana tide.
Oh, no. Yeah. And like. I just did that.
Then you're like, ooh, healing stream is up, and I'll drop that one. Yeah. Like, no.
I have totally done that before. Yeah. Like, no one needs to know about this. But for the level 90, the final tier stuff, personally, I've been taking Elemental Blast. Like I said, it works great into your rotation. It's one of the most pretty, like in a Chuck Norris way, pretty looking skills in the game. It is amazing. And then when that echo procs or your mastery procs and you see two or three of those fire off, man, it's like a unicorn rainbow of death just flying out and just wrecking shop, man. It is a fun talent there. I know you were talking a little bit about Primal Elementalist, Kevin. Is that where you're going with? Or are you doing the blast?
No, I go with the Elemental Blast also, but sometimes for funsies, I will go with the Primal Elementalist. It does decent damage, it looks cool, and it's a lot of fun. So it's great for soloing and going into old raids because having that stone elemental totem, that's 80% stronger. I mean, it's a tank. It really is.
Yeah, it is, totally.
And so you can just drop that and let them just go to town. And while you focus on, a specific mechanic that you still have to pay attention to or something like that. So it's a lot of fun to have those guys running around.
So we probably won't spend a whole heck of a lot of time on glyphs. I'll just let you know what I'm using, and they probably need to be revisited. There's a few that are really good that I don't use at the moment. I know there's a chain lightning one that'll increase the amount of targets that you can hit, but does slightly less damage. There's a fire elemental one that will reduce the cooldown, but also reduce the duration of your fire elemental. But what I'm using is the Glyph of Flame Shock. That'll when your Flame Shock does damage, it'll also heal you for 30% of the damage. So it's a nice little passive ability there that heals you back. Glyph of Lightning Shield. When your Lightning Shield is triggered, you'll take 10% less damage for a few seconds. So another little survivability one, and Glyph of Thunder, which reduces the cooldown on your Thunderstorm, because as the reoccurring theme here has been tonight, you just want to look awesome, and Thunderstorm looks fucking awesome.
Use an awesome ability more awesome, more often.
The minor glyphs, there's not a whole lot there other than the one we talked about where if you don't want to use the knockback on your Thunderstorm, you can glyph it to remove the knockback. And then I do the Ancestral Recall to reduce the length of my second hearth there. And
third hearth if you have the cape.
Oh, or fourth if you have both capes.
Oh, yeah, true that.
Yeah. And Glyph of Spectral Wolf, because that Spectral Wolf form, when you pop into Ghost Wolf, looks ridiculous. And it's all about looking at some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I use there.
Yeah, I'm very, very similar. The only change is that I do have the chain lightning that hits the two additional targets. And in addition to the spectral wolf, because, when you go into ghost wolf form, you have to look cool. But I not only look cool, but it also gives me water walking automatically.
I have that one, too. I had that one,
but there was some sort of glitch with it where it was not casting properly and it was like knocking me out of something. I don't know.
All I know is that this was an awesome glyph that I didn't even know existed, and I had no idea why every time I was in Ghost Wolf form, I magically had water walking. It was one of those things like they must have changed the glyph that I had.
Oh, maybe.
To that one.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden my ghost wolf kept giving me water walking. I wasn't about to ask why. I didn't care. I was just happy about it. And then later I was like, oh, it's a glyph. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool.
That's nice. Awesome.
Hooray for awesomeness.
Oh, let's see. Well, all right. I think we took a fairly easy topic and beat it into the ground pretty good there, but we'll have to definitely. I know personally, I'll do some runs with him this week and watch those numbers soar, and I'll just smile and be proud.
And then I'll take Hend, and then they won't be quite as good.
Whatever. I actually said Hend at that point.
I know you did. All right.
Here is where we would normally insert one of the most beautiful voices in podcasting, but she's a little under the weather right now, so we won't have a crowd control for you this week, but make sure to send in the questions and comments and everything so she can have some more to answer for you so we can keep that segment rolling proud.
So I guess that means it's time for this then.
Maggle of the Week.
I still love that. So the macro of the week this week,
classic.
We didn't plan it ahead of time. Busy and all, forgot all about it. But anyway, I'm going to be a little selfish here. And Kevin, you had mentioned that you had some Lava Burst macros earlier in the episode. So being selfish and trying to help my elemental shaman prowess get better here. I would like you to share those with us for the macro of the week.
Sure. It's actually one, just one. But here's the thing. This macro is for a particular neuroses that I have. And, ever since I started playing Warcraft, one has been my lightning bolt, two has been my lava shock, and so on and so forth. And with Lava Burst is my three. Well, when I get really excited in a raid, I like to hit it a lot. Even though I know, in my head that my lightning bolt is still rolling cooldown, I will continually tap the one button, like one of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, when I want an ability, I'm going to hit that button until that ability goes off, whether it's on cooldown or not. And I noticed that I started having a problem because I created a macro for Lava Burst, because as soon as that instant cast procs, I want to be hitting my Lava Burst. And so I wrote a macro that was, your basic show tool tip, stop cast Lava Burst macro. Well, I started noticing that when I'm like, okay, Lava Burst is off cooldown, I'd start hitting my three and start stop casting my own Lava Burst.
Oh, no.
I've done that before.
And so I was like, oh, that's not good for the way I play. So right now, actually, I have, what I did was I kept regular Lava Burst on three so that when it's off cooldown, I can use it. And then my shift three action bar is the interrupt everything else and cast Lava Burst ability.
Nice.
So that way, when it's a proc, I know hit shift three. Otherwise, just keep it on the three and I can just tap three all day long and not worry about it canceling itself out.
Cool.
So, so if you are like me...
I've done that same thing so many times.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a quick and easy way to get around that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love
I love stop cast macros.
Well, I have my interrupt on my front thumb button on my mouse, and out of habit, a lot of times I'll just hit that because, like, a lot of times there's always something you can interrupt, so I'm like goofing off, just tapping buttons, and that is also a stop cast, because you generally want your interrupt to be on a stop cast, so whatever, it doesn't matter what else you're doing, you want to interrupt. So
right.
I cut myself off a lot, and I don't mean to.
Right, and another one is you might want to even create a stop cast macro somewhere that's not even tied to a spell, just so that if you're casting lightning bolts, now that it's a constant on the move spell,
yeah.
Sometimes you hit it, you're like, ah, no, I don't want to do it. And so you used to hit spacebar in order to cancel it, but he's still casting through spacebar. And then you cry obscenities as that awesome looking lightning bolt goes sailing off towards the boss. So I also have another macro that's just stop cast. And that's one of my OS buttons on my mouse that I use. So in case if I'm ever throwing out something, all of a sudden I don't want it out there, I can hit that button on my mouse and just stop everything. So.
All right, cool. I will have to get that one.
Simple, simple, short and sweet.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. All right, well, let's start winding this down a little bit with some of this.
A handler, it's funky cause he's Canadian. Handler.
All right, as always, I need to send some hen love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies on the Deathwing server. And specifically, I want to send some hen love to Taz, who by showing me just what Elemental could do inspired this whole episode and allowed us to bring Kevin back on, which is awesome.
Yay! Yeah.
And
thank you, Taz.
I need to send some hen love, of course, to Kevin for agreeing to come back after we mucked up the last show so bad.
So. Well, thanks for having me back. It was, it's always a lot of fun hanging out. And I'll talk shaman all day.
Well, we have definitely said tonight that if something is awesome, that you want more of it. So we're glad that you agreed to come back. Even
exactly. Even, there we go.
Even
though I'm not as good looking as the shaman.
Well, it depends. You're a troll shaman.
Of course, the greatest of the shaman.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to all of our friends and listeners and family and followers out on the Twitter and Facebook and all you guys that join in and participate. We actually, this episode kind of happened because after the Shadow Priest episode, we had some people, you know, despite our previous shaman episode, they said, no, do Elemental Shaman. We love it. Do it again. So this one is for you guys. Definitely. And it's, I'm glad that Hind was able to actually step up and volunteer his off spec that he's been playing for years and years and years and years and be willing to try something else with that. So.
Yeah, the last time I was Elemental was Burning Crusade, where you could make a macro cast sequence, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, chain lightning. Actually, no, wait, it had chain lightning first, then three lightning bolts, and then a reset. But anyway, that's the last time I played Elemental.
And that works for every fight except for the what's his name in SSC, where Lightning Bolt did nothing to him because for half of the fight he was immune to nature damage.
Oh, lovely.
So
lovely.
Then you're like, Flame Shock, Frost Shock, Frost Shock, Frost Shock.
Oh, all right, Kevin, what hen love do you got to send out tonight?
I need to send out some big hen love to my guild on Area 52, the Unrepentant Guild. They are an awesome gaming community, guys. Please check them out. We have a lot of people online. They're pretty casual. They're getting some raids together. So if you're looking for a really fun, casual guild, hanging out on Area 52, check them out, unrepentantgaming.com. And also, I would be 100%, you know, dragged behind the cart and tarred and feathered if I did not give mad props to the Darkmoon Herald crew.
Oh,
I know,
of course,
we haven't had an episode out for a little while, but real life has thrown us some curveballs and some really great stuff that is taking us out of game. So big props to Walsh. You know, he just got married and he's settling into that life. You know, Skolnick, he's working hard. Upsana is out, you know, just got out for the summer with her doctorate program, and I myself have a new job. So we're all just kind of, you know, trying to figure out how to get it settled in. We're going to have new episodes coming out. As some people have messaged us, like, no, we're not done. We are going to be making new episodes. We have BlizzCon tickets. So we are still out there, and they are an amazing crew. and such great friends and have been very supportive for just between all of us in this last couple weeks. So a big shout out to those guys, and make sure you guys check out Warcraft Well Read. That's Skolnick and Apsana's a book club. They have their podcast on iTunes where they talk about books. And then of course they have the discussion forums on Goodreads. So check them out.
You know what? I just want to bring this, Warcraft Well Read. My wife, I think it was when we were in Mexico. And the books I had brought to read when we're sitting down by the pool were a couple of Warcraft books. And what my wife had suggested, like this was only a couple months ago, what she suggested is, why don't you do like a book club? And then you could have a podcast and talk about it after. I'm like, you know what? That's been done. There's someone who does that already. I'm like, so, and it's good. I can't do that. So, anyway, it's definitely a good idea. Definitely, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Gets me reading more, which is always a good thing.
I wish I could read. More than like 5 words at a time.
I know. Well, I haven't touched those books since I got back because I just don't have time when I'm at home. Anyway, we have a 5-star here. Rob, do you want to take this?
You know what? Speaking of reading, let me go ahead. This one is called Excellent, Excellent, Good, Good, 5 stars by Clegg2. You guys are great. Been listening for many, many months, and the repeated lack of 5-star reviews for your 5-star review section of the show just had to stop. We've got a mouse over macro convert here. Yay! I can't quit them. Keep it up. Mushi from U.S. Ravencrest. Thank you so much, Mushi.
Yes, awesome. Thank you.
Now we're getting, at least for this show, we can not complain about our lack of reviews. So.
All right. That does it for episode 43 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. We try to post our macros of the week there, as well as any other macros we might discuss during the show. While you're there, why don't you leave some comments on the episodes or the macros, or better yet, send us a voicemail using the fancy widget on the right-hand side of the page. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies, so go give us a like. We're also on Twitter, and to be honest, that's probably where we're most active, so follow the show at Training Dummies. You can follow Rob at Rob Copeland, myself, Hend, at Hend_Horderlies, and Kim with a Y at Kim Scally. And as always, we love to get emails, so send in your questions, comments, or MP3s to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. And before I hit the closing bumper here, Kevin, I just realized we did not give you an opportunity to tell everyone how to reach you. So I'm going to let you sneak that in right here.
Blasphemy.
I know.
If anybody would like to send me an email with their elemental shaman questions or any questions about Warcraft in general or comments about how horrible I am and everything that I was wrong in saying in this episode, please feel free to do that. podcast@darkmoonherald.com. And check out my own podcast, The Dark Moon Herald, which is just a crazy mishmash of variety show where we have a whole bunch of different segments based on the Dark Moon Feral. It's a lot of fun. Check it out, darkmoonherald.com. And though some of our episodes our recording to release schedule is a little bit funky, so if the news is outdated, just ignore it or think of it as like a really awesome time capsule. It's like, oh yeah, I remember when. But the rest of the episode is golden, so it works out well. But you can also follow me on Twitter at Kevin Old Scratch.
All right. Thank you and good night.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
Hello everyone out there on the interwebs, this is Gemmet, Day, and Corendos here from the Let's WoW podcast, and we wanted to take a moment and let you all know about an upcoming annual community event occurring on June 23rd on the Proudmoore server in celebration of Pride Month.
This year will mark the 9th annual Proudmoore Pride Celebration, and hopefully it will be the biggest and best celebration yet. The theme for the parade this year is marriage equality, and parade participants are encouraged, but not required, to wear appropriate in-game wedding attire, like the white wedding dress, tuxedo jacket, and tuxedo pants.
There will be a cross-faction parade, followed by a huge dance party to celebrate the gains that the LGBT community has achieved this past year, and to express our hope that everyone, everywhere, will someday be able to marry the person that they love.
And this is one of the best-known annual in-game events in any MMO, and has received numerous press coverage in both the LGBT as well as mainstream media. These events have also been known to bring out some of Blizzard's own staff to party and dance with everyone celebrating.
Proudmoore Pride is hosted by the Stonewall family and the Spreading Taint Meta Guilds, and is open to everyone of every level.
You may be asking yourself, how can I participate if I don't have a character on Proudmoore? Well, that's absolutely no problem. Both the Alliance and the Horde will be having temporary guilds as well as cross-realm grouping for everyone to join, with people ready, willing, and able to help you get to the event.
For answers to more questions as well as more information in general and videos of past events, just point your browser over to ProudmoorePride.com.
We all hope that you will join us Sunday, June 23rd, for this fantastic community event of love and inclusion for everyone.